When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 76ers advanced to the first round, will face the Knicks. Philly overcame a 14-point deficit to win 105-104 against the Heat, advancing to the playoffs for the seventh straight season. They're seeking to go beyond the conference semifinals for the first time since 2001. Joel Embiid played in one of the four games versus the Knicks this season. The Knicks won that game by 36 points on January 5th. Both Embiid and Brunson, very important to their team, obviously. The Sixers won less than 40% of their games without Embiid and averaged 11.6 fewer points per game. The Knicks went 1-4 without Brunson, averaging almost 14 fewer points per game. All right, Monica's back. Tim Legler, Monica. You pay very close attention to these squads.
I do.
As Stephen A. highlighted earlier with your many jobs. Who's more important, do you think, in this series? Would you go Embiid or Brunson?
This is a tough question, but I think it's going to be Jalen Brunson. He literally is the creator, both for himself and for his teammates, for the New York Knicks. The numbers, when he's off the floor in terms of the net rating, tumble. So I think it's going to be Jalen Brunson, and his teammates are going to have to be locked in to be able to help him. But in terms of his value and what the way this team looks with and without him on the floor, I think it's Jalen Brunson. And this is not an easy question. I understand the argument for Embiid, but I just keep going back to him being the single best shot creator, both for himself and others, and it's by a wide margin.
I think for me, it's Joel Embiid. And in saying that, I'm complimenting Jalen Brunson for this standpoint. I have absolutely no doubt what I'm about to see out of Jalen Brunson in this series. That's how sure I am of what he has become, the way he delivers every night. There doesn't seem to be anything you can come up with to really limit him or keep him from getting new his spots. He just does it time and time again. The difference is with Embiid, you're talking about him at his peak and the way he looks now. You're talking about the most dominant player in the Eastern Conference versus a guy that now you have a chance against. That's what we're looking at in Joel Embiid. So when I say he's the most important player, what I'm saying is if he can't be significantly closer to what he is at his best, or even what he was a few weeks ago when he first came back from the injury, than he was last night, they can't win the series. So I don't know what I'm about to see out of Joel Embiid game one. How does he look moving forward in this series? Does he get worse game by game? And if that's the case, you completely swing the pendulum in the direction of the New York Knicks. I'm saying Brunson, that's a given. I know what that's going to look like. He's healthy. I know what that's going to look like. I have absolutely no idea what I'm about to see out of Joel Embiid and the fact that he's the most dominant player in the East and one of the top two probably in the entire NBA, and we don't know that. That's why to me, Stephen A., I'm saying he is the more important factor here that we need to be talking about.
He's the more important factor, without question. Here's the reason why. Because the Philadelphia 76ers don't have a snowball's chance in hell without him. It's just that simple. It's that simple. Now, I know one could say, you could say the same about Jalen Brunson, and we get that. The difference is that Jalen Brunson, you haven't had to consider much about life without him because he's been reliable, he's been durable, he hasn't been hurt. He doesn't have a history of a plethora of injuries that has derailed not just him, but the franchise's championship aspirations, and which is why it's such a damn shame that his teammate was Ben Simmons, you know, Joel Embiid, because Joel Embiid was healthy enough to help propel you to a championship if Ben Simmons had done his job. I'm talking about the series against Atlanta, Tim Legler. That's, you know, his last series in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform. I'm talking about that. And so when you look at it from that standpoint and you consider the game that Joel Embiid brings to the table, how dominant he can be, how much he can derail and throw off anything that you throw in his direction, it is problematic for anybody going up against the Philadelphia 76ers when he is healthy enough to perform. He's not. And because he's not, That's a big reason why my confidence is where it is for the New York Knickerbockers, because I love me some Jalen Brunson. I'm proud to have him. I think he's arguably the biggest free agent pickup from a franchise, you know, at this side of Kevin Durant, for crying out loud, okay? I get all of that. But in the end, he ain't Joel Embiid. We all know this. Joel Embiid is something special to behold, but he ain't healthy. And if he can't give you what he's capable of giving you, or something close to it, the Philadelphia 76ers don't stand much of a chance in this series.
Both, we all agree, are pivotal pieces for their particular teams. And I truly do understand you guys' argument, and it's not a hill that I'm willing to die on in this particular argument. I just don't buy that you're going to get the healthier version. And so, for me, the conversation just swings the other way.
Mm. Stephen A., how much does Tyrese Maxey impact the series?
Well, he can, because he's an explosive player. He's young, he's energetic, he's spry, he's electric in a lot of different ways. He is something special to behold as well. I'm really proud of him. I think that he's going to deserve and warrant, and he will ultimately receive a max contract. He's definitely the future of the franchise in terms of, one could argue he's the future because he's more reliable from a durability standpoint than Joel Embiid has been. And so I look at it from that perspective, and I say to myself, Tyrese Maxey, he can shoot, he can get to the hole, he can pass, he's quick afoot, he's young, and all of those things work in his favor. He's definitely that elite supplementary part that you would look for when you think about being a championship team. He's got the goods, make no mistake about it. But again, without Joel Embiid, it's just hard to imagine what they're going to be able to do against the onslaught of a New York Knicks team who, quite frankly, is just an elite defensive team. When an OG Anunoby, a Hartenstein, and even a Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench is in the lineup for you, not to mention Josh Hart. They are an elite defensive team, and that cannot be escaped.
Listen, I'm glad we brought up Tyrese Maxey. Here's why. I'm out on a limb with Tyrese Maxey. I've already said it. This is the most reliable playoff co-star Joel Embiid has had, period, in Philadelphia. I'm going back to Ben Simmons, obviously James Harden. Tyrese Maxey, to me, is a guy that comes off as having this elite-level confidence. And he's got the quickness that he's going to get to spots on the floor. He's had 350-point games this season, for goodness sakes, okay? This is a guy that is super combustible. He can go off. I think we're going to know a lot more about how we view Tyrese Maxey at the end of this series. Because if Joel Embiid is limited like we're talking about, and you got a guy that's on this level, that's an all-star, that has put up 25, 26 points a game all season long, guess what? It's on you now to pick up what Joel Embiid doesn't give you. So we're going to look at Maxey, I think, at the end of this series. Look, if he plays okay, he averages 21, 22, shoots in the mid-40s from the field, they lose in 6-7 games, I think we're going to view Maxey a little bit differently. Like, if you're that guy, this is the time. If Embiid's limited, why can't Tyrese Maxey go average 25, 30? You did it all season. Go do it right now in a playoff series. We're going to view Tyrese Maxey completely differently. If he does that and the Sixers somehow win this series, Tyrese Maxey is actually going to climb another rung in that ladder and how we view him.
If he doesn't, but the stats you just threw out, hypothetically, though, Legs, were not bad stats, which would be him playing good in your assertion. He has the opportunity to elevate for sure. But if he does give you a solid performance, but it is not a series-saving performance, and especially if Joel Embiid isn't on the floor, and the Knicks, this is one of the better defenses in the league. Like, I'm willing to give Maxey a little bit more wiggle room. I think this year, the way that he showed after Joel Embiid went down, we saw that he is a running mate.
Yep.
And so this
very
might
true.
Not be the year where he takes the jump as an A1, particularly against a defense as good as the Knicks.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. To the NFL we go now. Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, Jeremy Fowler all contributed to an extensive article on Bill Belichick that revealed how Robert Kraft reportedly warned Atlanta not to trust Belichick as he interviewed for the head coaching position. Here's one snippet from that article, which is available to read in full context at ESPN.com. Quote, but in a conversation with Arthur Blank, Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character, according to a source who spoke to two people, a close Kraft friend and a longtime Belichick confidant. The source quoted Belichick as saying, Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. That account was backed up, the source said, by the close Kraft friend. All right. Someone who knows this organization very well, of course, Damian Woody, winning a Super Bowl there. And Mina Kimes joining us now from the West Coast. Great to see you, Mina. Damian, I want to start with you, closer to the situation, obviously playing under Bill Belichick. Do you think this is a bad look for Robert Kraft to get involved?
I do. I'm just, you know, when I look at this whole situation, and I just go back to the Dynasty documentary that airs on Apple TV. The one glaring message that comes out from the Dynasty documentary is it definitely didn't shed a great light on Bill Belichick. Obviously, you could make the case that it was, you know, Robert Kraft puff piece as far as, you know, PR is concerned. And you know, you just saw so many times in that documentary just the disdain that it seemed like it was talking about as far as Bill and behind the scenes decision making as it relates to Tom. And then you fast forward to the ESPN piece by Seth Wickersham and obviously Don Van Natta, and just talk about the trust, you know, that Robert Kraft goes and talks to Arthur Blank. And listen, when you have these type of conversations, there's always, you know, the kind of the feeling that these conversations will leak, because we know in today's age, hardly anything ever stays in house. They always find themselves out in the media at some point, sometimes somewhere. And for Robert Kraft to come out and basically say you don't trust the man, I'm sorry, this man was entrusted to an organization where he won 6 Super Bowls. He appeared in 9 Super Bowls, won 6. Okay, Bill Belichick elevated the New England Patriots into the stratosphere of what we talk about with the Dallas Cowboys and Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, you go out here when Bill Belichick is trying to get a job with the Atlanta Falcons and sabotage Bill Belichick like that. It's a bad look for me. I'm just being straight up with it. I think it's just an awfully bad look.
Stephen A.?
Yeah, I agree with Damian. Yeah, look, Robert Kraft's entitled to his opinion about Bill Belichick. If he thinks he was a bad collaborator, if he thinks he had qualities that contributed to the Patriots' lack of success over the last couple of years, obviously, primarily as the GM, he is welcome to have those opinions. I think what struck out to me, though, in this piece and why I do find this to be petty, frankly, is he called Blank, according to Seth and Don's sources. He was proactive about discouraging him from hiring Bill Belichick. And we know from his piece, from the way things shook out in the offseason, this was Bill Belichick's only shot at a job, which is, by the way, why Robert Kraft isn't the only reason why he's not a head coach. But knowing that this was a shot, knowing the history that he has with Bill in New England, then reading that he picked up the phone to call Arthur Blank and discourage him from hiring Bell, according to this reporting, which Kraft has denied, I find that to be undeniably petty.
Stephen A.?
That's what we're doing? So this report comes out. If I remember correctly, I think that Robert Kraft denied. Did he deny doing this? Did he deny calling Arthur Blank and saying? I mean, okay, so why does Bill Belichick deserve the benefit of the doubt but not Robert Kraft? I recall Robert Kraft handing the organization to Bill Belichick, okay, and giving him the franchise. Now, Bill Belichick did the most with it, put Mina and Damian up on the screen, please. I want to look at them when I'm talking to them. I recall Bill Belichick being handed this franchise. Bill Belichick didn't win 6 rings as a head coach before he arrived in New England. He was with the New York Jets. He departed from the New York Jets after accepting the New York Jets head coach job and then saying, turn around, I don't really, really want it. And then went to New England. Okay, he was embraced by Robert Kraft. He hands him the organization. It was Bill Belichick that said, Drew Bledsoe, sit your behind down. We're going to stick with Tom Brady. And obviously it propelled them to 6 rings and 9 trips to a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of the modern era. We all know how sensational of a coach he is. But there was also Spygate that had his fingerprints all over it. There was also Deflategate. I don't care what anybody says, that had his fingerprints on it. You have a situation, last but not least, Robert Kraft loves himself some Tom Brady. Robert Kraft wants Tom Brady to stay. Bill Belichick didn't want that. And because he didn't want that and he convinced everybody that Tom Brady was done, Tom Brady departs. And the very first year he departs from New England, Robert Kraft has to watch him win a Super Bowl for another franchise after listening to a coach that was saying for the couple of previous years that he was done. He might be a little salty about Bill Belichick. Absolutely so. And he would have every right to be. That doesn't take away from the greatness that Bill Belichick put forth. It doesn't take away from his resume. We get all of that. But if you and he ultimately, after 20 plus years together, okay, have a oil and water kind of relationship because Tom Brady departs and he wins a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, you got 4 years after he departs where y'all look damn near like trash. That might make a person a bit salty. It might. And I'm just saying, if I've got a contemporary, another owner, if he said something along the lines like Bill Belichick can't be trusted, that's a different matter. That's a bit extreme. And I totally vibe with y'all on that. But what if, and it's all hypothetical here because Robert Kraft has denied it, okay? What if Bill Belichick was like this? Listen, we all know he's a great coach. I don't like his ass. You know what I'm saying? We had a falling out. I don't like him. You know what I'm saying? He's gotten to a point where he's feeling himself a little bit too much. He might be your flavor because you haven't won anything in Atlanta. But for me, you asking me how I feel, I'm telling you how I feel. That happens all the time. And I don't think that I think that we have to recognize that. I don't think that's a crime.
Listen, Stephen, I get where you're coming from. I'm just going off of what I saw in the Dynasty documentary.
I have not seen that, by the way.
Okay, I would advise you to peep that out and you understand where I'm coming from.
You feel like Belichick was portrayed unfairly in that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, anyone who, please go watch it. He was definitely portrayed in a terrible light, in my opinion. And then you combine the fact that in Atlanta, Belichick wasn't even in the top three. We're talking about arguably the greatest coach in NFL history, not even in the top three. Like, I mean, come on, man. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Can I ask one question really quick, and Stephen A., if you don't mind. I'm just curious, when do you feel like this rift began between Belichick and Robert Kraft? Like, when did the divide occur? Because obviously it didn't exist the entire time.
I think things started to drift when Jimmy G got drafted, to be honest with you. Like once Bill shook up the apple cart with Tom because of Tom's relationship with Kraft, I think that's when things started going
sideways.
Started going sideways. And then when Jimmy G was dealt away, then I think that's when all hell kind of broke loose and the relationship, I think, was irreparably, it couldn't be repaired at that point.
I'm going to let you go because, listen, I got 2 hours. You go ahead and then I'll follow up. But go ahead.
Damian's right. Seth and Don have reported on sort of the cracks in the relationship and how they do go back to really Tom Brady being sort of the third party, and if you want to make it a triangle. I think what concerns me the most about this report coupled with excellent point by Damian, this documentary, which, you know, players have come out and said they all feel this same way, too. This is unfair to Bill Belichick. Is Stephen, it's giving me Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson. It's not the same thing necessarily, but when you look at as a whole, everything being said and done and hinted at and reported around this offseason, I'm starting to feel a level of concern that this relationship, this legacy, this dynasty is somewhat being put at risk by some of the ways that Kraft is acting this offseason.
Well, first of all, nothing puts the dynasty at risk. What's done is done. History will record. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. 6 championships, 9 Super Bowl trips. Bill Belichick to be an overseer of that organization from a football operations standpoint. To do what he has done, he is clearly the greatest coach of the modern era. There's nothing that's going to stain or taint that. That is cemented, okay? I'll even go a step further, but I'm going to throw a twist into this. You know, one of my boys is Rodney Harrison. I love this man. He does a great job on NBC. Obviously, he was in New England doing his thing, along with yourself and various others. All of y'all are aligned and in unison. As a credit to you, Woody. All of y'all are saying the same thing about what happened to Bill Belichick. Totally got, I got that. What I'm saying is something different, however. While not disputing that, it's one thing for Bill Belichick to have that relationship with y'all. It is entirely plausible that that same Bill Belichick, if you ain't a player on the field playing for him, if you're not one of the coaches under his dominion, he's like, scoot away, get out of here. What do I need with you? Similar to what Jerry Jones may have felt with Jimmy Johnson. Now, the difference between Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson compared to Kraft and Belichick, look at what Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson's relationship was. Spanning from their days in Arkansas, knowing each other for decades, ultimately inheriting a Dallas Cowboys squad that had a 1-15 season and building that in the back-to-back championships and ultimately 3 Super Bowl rings in 4 years with Barry Switzer coaching the 3rd Super Bowl. So if you're Jerry Jones, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, you might have a reason to be salty because of the way you were treated, but damn, let it go. Don't hold on to it. Don't keep Jimmy Johnson out of the Ring of Honor for damn near 30 years. That's just egregious. In this case, what are we talking about here? We're not just talking about what kind of relationship may have deteriorated. We're also talking about Spygate. We're talking about Deflategate. We're talking about the stain of that, which Robert Kraft was outspoken about and very appalled by. We're also talking about the exit of the greatest quarterback who ever lived in Tom Brady. Kraft wanted him to stay. And Kraft literally said, quote, if Bill Belichick had wanted Tom Brady to stay, we'd have worked it out. Bill Belichick didn't want to do that. And so when you look at the residue from that, that's going to make somebody like Kraft salty is all I'm trying to say. That's reasonable, y'all. That's not a crime. If you think that this man literally has made the last 5 years, 4+5 years or so, absolutely positively miserable. Plus, he spent years dismissing you, shooing you away because you're really not a part of this. It's me and the players and my coaches. It's really not you. Just cut the check and move the hell out the way and go up in your suite and watch what we do. You know, if you got that kind of attitude, which is not beyond the realm of comprehension with Bill Belichick, that might make you a bit salty. And last point, Damian, I believe wholeheartedly Bill Belichick, there is no excuse why Jerry Jones should not have hired him as the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. You talk about Jerry Jones wants the camera, Bill Belichick don't. You talk about those players being reeled in and focused and locked in on football instead of all of the ancillary distractions. Definitely Bill Belichick was the man for that job. But if that's not the case, you got these organizations with young executives trying to prove their mettle. Bill Belichick has forgotten more football than they know. And they know it. And they know the second he arrives, it's going to drastically dilute and diminish the power they want to have. It makes perfect sense why they didn't want him. Perfect sense.
I want to give Mina a chance to respond here to what you just said, Stephen A.
Well, I agree with you about Bill Belichick and the Cowboys. So at the end there, I was nodding. What you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, is because of how Bill Belichick has handled the last 4 to 5 years in New England, Robert Kraft has some justification to be salty with him. I don't disagree. It really did feel like the relationship had run its course. What I take issue with, the premise of this debate we're having, is whether that justified Robert Kraft picking up the phone, calling Arthur Blank. The story doesn't say he was asked, by the way. It says he called him and saying, don't hire this man, which, again, he has denied. I want to be clear, we're, you know, to be fair to him, saying don't trust him. That, to me, is taking it a bridge too far. It's one thing to have, you know, your feelings about your working relationship. It's quite another to stop him from getting to throw a wrench in potentially the opportunity to get the only job that was apparently available to him, if that is what happened.
If that's what happened, I would agree with you. That's a bridge step too far. Absolutely correct. To pick up the phone, not be called, but to pick up the phone and say, don't hire the man, don't trust the man. If Robert Kraft did that, he should be condemned for it, without question. Now, he says he didn't. The point is, with Bill Belichick, you just never know. You just never know. Things could get so salty, unless you're one of his players, unless you're one of his coaches. Things can get so salty because we know, and you've told me this, Woody, I mean, if you ain't a part of that clique, that inner circle, Bill Belichick could give less than a damn about you. You said that.
I want to give you the final word here.
Yeah, listen, I think, like, for me, you know, you talk about just hearing Stephen A, you know, talking about, like, being a part of this clique. Bill Belichick was all business. It wasn't like a family environment. It was all business. But I just think that the way that Bill Belichick seems like it's being portrayed, again, with the documentary and then obviously with this piece that came out on ESPN.com, it's a travesty considering everything that Bill Belichick has brought to the Patriots organization in the 20 plus years that he was there. That's all I'm saying. I just think that
it would be interesting to find out who was behind that project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me add this to Damian, because Damian's right here. Damian, he was all business.
Yep.
Players vouched for him the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something else that I know for a fact, and one of my boys just reminded me of this. I know Robert Kraft a little bit now. I've known him over the years now. We've had plenty of conversations, privately, directly, one-on-one. And I'm here to tell you something. When that man Bill Belichick sat Malcolm Butler, an elite cornerback in the National Football League that season, who had played 97% of the downs throughout the regular season and the AFC playoffs, only to be benched with no explanation in a Super Bowl that you ultimately lost to Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles when you gave up 40, I can tell you right now, Kraft wasn't happy about that either. Because where's the explanation? Why? Why would you do something like that? So I'm just saying to y'all, again, Mina, I'm down with you. You too, Woody. If you picked up the phone and called, don't trust the guy. Don't hire the guy. Damn. That's wrong. Man wants 6 Super Bowls for you. Took you to 9 Super Bowl appearances. Damn, that's wrong. Got you. But there's a lot of stuff that Bill Belichick did now. And that could piss you off.
Okay.
All right? Especially if you're supposed to be his boss.
Yep.
Let's not act like that's not true.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The first round of the playoffs tip off this weekend, and the Phoenix Suns are set to face Ant Edwards and the Timberwolves, while the Wolves have home court advantage throughout the series. The Suns swept Minnesota in the regular season. KD's big three hasn't been as dominant as we thought it would be, and his playoff career needs a bump. Since leaving the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant has not seen as much playoff success as he reached the finals all three seasons with Golden State, but has not escaped the second round since Durant has gone his part through averaging over 30 points per game in the playoffs in that span. HKSA, larger than life essay.
Back in the board.
Tell me this. What's on the line for KD versus the Wolves?
Well, if we're going to talk about legacy with LeBron James, how can we can't talk about legacy with Kevin Durant? I think that Kevin Durant is a natural-born professional scorer. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen in NBA history. He's got two championships. He's got two NBA Finals MVPs. But that was playing with the Splash Brothers, the most elite shooting backcourt the game of basketball has ever seen. Now, they needed him to win because they would not have won without him. And despite the greatness of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant was still unquestionably the best player on the Golden State Warriors. And at that time, vying for a top two, top three spot as the best player in the game. But in the end, here's what it comes down to. Much to the chagrin of his loved ones and him and others who definitely have a problem with me saying this. He hasn't been out of the second round since he departed from Golden State. He never won a title before he arrived. When he departed from Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, it was after they were up 3-1 and gave up a 3-1 lead, lost to the Golden State Warriors in that season that they won 73 games and ultimately lost to LeBron James in the NBA Finals. And 3 weeks later or so, this man is a member of the team that came back from a 3-1 deficit and beat him, which obviously created a lot of criticism aimed in his direction, led by me, unapologetically so, I might add. Then we fast forward. You want to depart from Golden State. And you talked about going there because you just wanted to play the right way, implying that essentially playing with Russell Westbrook wasn't doing it for you. So you wanted to go to Golden State because you wanted to play the right way. Then you go to Golden State and you got a team that plays the right way, plays on the championship level, is led by one of the greatest superstars this game has ever seen in terms of his image, not just his game, is Steph Curry. And you depart from him to go to Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving. And while there, y'all got out of the second round. I'm sorry, you got out of the first round once. Now, that wasn't any fault of Kevin Durant. He was absolutely spectacular in that series against Milwaukee that they lost in 7 games in the semifinals. And if Kyrie Irving hadn't got hurt, I believe Brooklyn might have won it all. But nevertheless, it happened. And so now that we look at him collectively and we see everything, the bottom line is this: Brooklyn, and now you're in Phoenix. You lose in the second round last year. You go into this first round series. If you get bounced out, how are we to look at him? It's not going to be in a good light, because what have you done since you departed from Steph Curry?
Tim?
That's just the way it is.
Everything he said is fair. And I'm one of those people that ascribes to the mentality that not every ring is created the same way.
I don't think
y'all carry the same weight. That's just my opinion. Some people could differ with that. My point being, the one that LeBron won in Cleveland, to me, that carries more weight than the two in Miami. That's just the way I feel about that, because of the circumstances around that, what you had to overcome, a franchise that had never had a title. You delivered that to the city. That, to me, carries more weight. Now, Kevin Durant's got two. There's no denying that. But he went to a team that had already won one, that had Steph Curry, one of the greatest of all time. He joined that team. It basically guaranteed winning. Now, Stephen A's right. I think they did need him to ultimately win it, and he got two finals MVPs. But the one thing missing for Kevin Durant, and I'm not saying it's going to have an issue, by the way. Yeah, okay, they could get by Minnesota. You're still going to run into the Denver Nuggets probably at some point. So, and that could end your season in the next round. I still think Kevin Durant, if you want to, you know, really, really cement it, how we view you historically in terms of your career, not just your talent, but your career, I think he needs one of those runs. And what better place to do it than with another, with a franchise that's never done it, just like LeBron did when he won that one in Cleveland. That, I think, is what Kevin Durant still needs if you want to start talking about that place historically with all of the guys that have championships and everything else to go with it that led teams there in a different way than Kevin Durant was able to do in Golden State. So I agree with Stephen A. I think he needs it. Certainly can't lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round. I mean, that's something that's going to be tough to overcome.
All right, so we're parsing hairs, and that is the point of this show. That is the point of debate because, Tim, I know a plethora of guys that would take two championships, right? And you would put them legacy cemented, boom, bam, boom, right? It would be a rough look if the Suns fall short against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I also think we've had this conversation about LeBron James, and rightfully so. At 39, fantastic. But it's not like KD has been in the league for 6 years. Like, this is a guy that's also turning a corner. And we had a game in Phoenix earlier this season, and he made the point that sometimes it's easy to toss guys to the side as they get older because we're so infatuated with youth. I do think that his legacy certainly would be bolstered if he can be the guy in a run of a team that he's created, because Stephen A, and you guys both said it yourselves, he still was the guy for the Warriors during that run, but of course he's around a plethora of folks. But I just think this is, I'm not gonna say it's unfair, because I think heavy is the head that wears the crown, and so I get the conversation, but I do think it would be a little bit of a disservice to overlook what he did with the Warriors and the arc of his career and how supremely talented he truly is.
Well, to be honest with you, if we're going to be fair about it, Eminem, our overlooking, and I don't think any of us who know basketball would overlook what he did for the Warriors because we know how valuable and how pivotal he was to their success. But the fact of the matter is that you talk about heavy is the head that wears the crown. The one place he won the championship was where he didn't have to wear the crown. Every place else where he was wearing the crown, he didn't measure up. I'm talking about the GM that is Kevin Durant. I'm talking about the leader that is Kevin Durant. I'm talking about what you elect and what you choose to partner with, surround yourself with, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in Oklahoma City, you know, it really wasn't really about Russell Westbrook as much as it was about Sam Presti, you know, with his you know, just nitpicking and just specific ways that he could be. And it was a turn off for KD from anybody that knows KD. This is what they say anyway. All right. You go to Golden State and you're winning, but, you know, you weren't happy in Oklahoma City. And then you ended up not being happy in Golden State. Then you go to Brooklyn and obviously circumstances that were beyond your control. You know, you didn't end up being happy there. Now you in Phoenix and
guys, excuse me one sec. I gotta get into commercial break. You can come back and make points after. Let me just get this in here. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The Eagles are revamped with some new key offensive pieces. Saquon Barkley, hey now, joined the squad last month while Kellen Moore named offensive coordinator after Brian Johnson was let go in February. It was his fourth OC change for Jalen Hurts since he joined the Eagles. However, he's ready. He can handle it. All that good stuff. Kmart back here with us. Kimberly?
Yes.
Which NFC East quarterback is under the most pressure to succeed?
Molly, the answer is simple. There's only one answer to this question, and it's Jalen Hurts.
Really?
Jalen Hurts has to prove that 2022 was not the aberration, like that he is that guy. He needs to prove that last year was the aberration. Listen, Dak Prescott, win or lose, he will test the market. He can test the market. He can go. He will have options. With Jalen Hurts, Jalen has to not only prove that he's the guy that outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, but he also has to prove that despite his head coach putting him in an unwinnable situation from the standpoint of how many coaching changes? Thank you. All those changes, and it doesn't matter. He still has to win. He still has to be that guy. And I've been on this show long enough talking to Stephen A, hearing Stephen A talk about the Cowboys, where I understand everybody's made the decision on Dak if he's that good of a quarterback. Okay, I feel like everybody's talked about Dak enough. Jalen Hurts is still a guy that we have seen flashes of that greatness, and he can still. Don't do that. I know you're not going to tell me the answer is Dak. I know you wouldn't do that. So what's your answer? Please.
It's Dak.
See, you're not being serious today. You're not being serious today on the show.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right, well, okay, you can say I'm not being serious, but I'm dead serious. $55.4 million cap hit, 21.3% of Dallas's cap for the upcoming season. They're trying to rework his deal so it'll be a lesser cap hit. These are things that you know because of the exceptional job you do coaching the National Football, covering the National Football League, which means that you also know in Dak Prescott's 8 years, his 8 seasons as a starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, although they've had 6 winning seasons and won the NFC East 4 times, and he's had 3 Pro Bowl selections. He also has one of the worst records in playoff history for starting quarterback. He's at 2-5 in his playoff career, tied for worst record by any quarterback in the NFL postseason with a minimum of 5 starts along the lines of Billy Kilmer and Alex Smith. That's what we're talking about here, the quarterback for America's team with the $55.4 million cap hit, who's been a quarterback for 8 seasons, who's looking for his bag, who, by the way, whose dollars insured that others can't get their bag because you're busy giving it to this dude who can't even get you to an NFC championship game. And you're trying to tell me that a guy who's been quarterbacking for the Philadelphia Eagles for a significantly lesser period of time, who's already taking them to a Super Bowl appearance, which means he had to get to an NFC championship game appearance, which is something that Dak Prescott could never do. You're trying to tell me that that dude, who, by the way, count significantly less against the Philadelphia Eagles cap than Dak Prescott. You're telling me that guy is under more pressure than Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? How did the Philadelphia Eagles season end last year? How did the season end last year? The last 2 months?
They lost.
Coordinators changing, people fired. Now the head coach who's on the hot seat. This team is the expectations for the Eagles is
not. So Mike McCarthy is not on the hot seat? Mike McCarthy ain't on the hot seat?
Stephen A., you know you have higher expectations for the Philadelphia Eagles than you do the Dallas Cowboys.
I do. I got them winning the NFC East. That's true.
And what happens if Jalen Hurts does not have a tremendous bounce back season and the Eagles don't bounce back without Jason Kelce?
Finish telling me that if Dak Prescott is going to have options, who says that they're not going to want him to have options if yet another season he doesn't produce? You think the city of Dallas want him? Is it Jalen Hurts' brother who's all over social media talking about get him the hell up out of here? You know, talking about organizations? Is it family members for the Dallas Cowboys talking about them getting rid of?
You're making this degree, Stephen. Stephen A., I don't want you to leave on a sour note. You're in L.A. Say hi to all your people for me. I hope you have a fabulous time.
I am not sour.
Get back here so we
all.
Can talk in person.
I am
right?
not. Stop projecting that kind of, I'm good. I'm chilling. All
and
is
I want
love.
You to leave on a happy note. That's all I said.
I'm
good. Look nice.
We're just worried about your spirit here.
Well, my spirit's good.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.